So Auntie Ruth Witt was just sharing there about Martha and Mary, and I just want to pick up on that story. Luke chapter 10, I think it is, in verse number 38. Luke 10, 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into their home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted. Say distracted. You know, there's so many distractions right now in life. In fact, do you have that video, that little YouTube clip of let's kill the lights and just let's just watch something right now, and I'll hopefully be able to narrate something through it as well. This is a guy who is renowned for his plate spinning. So go ahead. And as you watch this, just tell me, does this remind you of your life right now? I'm going to cut the video there, but he goes on to fill all those things. He balances sticks on the end of his nose, and he spins plates like that, right? Now, would anyone else like to try that here? 20 quid prize? 30? 50? 50 quid. That's nearly £1,000 an hour if you can do it. No? Hey, 56? Oh, no. You have to spin them on your fingers. Yeah, I'm not that stupid. Lord have mercy. Okay. Now, for the sake of illustration, read this morning. When you see the word distracted, see the word plate spinning. Right? But Martha was plate spinning with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care? Look at that word care. That's a very, very, very important word. Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Wait there one second now. That word care is a Greek word called merimna. If you're taking notes, it's in the English language, it's spelled R-M-E-R-I-M-N-A, merimna. Say it out loud, merimna. Brilliant. It's a really, really important word. Because if we go back to what I was sharing last week, the Bible talks about the cares of this world. Do you remember that scripture? The deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things enter into the human heart, choke out the word, and the word becomes unfruitful as a result. The merimnas, literally the merimnas of this world, enter into the human heart. They choke out the word and it becomes unfruitful. So that somebody who'd never heard the word of God, the person who has heard the word of God, but who is merimnaed on the inside, is just as impotent, just as unable to produce the fruit of the word of God as those somebody who had never heard it before in their lives. Doesn't that sound like that? So many of us? I struggled. I am a serial merimna person. It's one of the biggest strongholds of the enemy in my life, is cares. Another translation calls it worries. Anyone here a worrier? I think it's part of my, I'm half Irish, and the Irish genetic, particularly the Irish Catholic genetic pool. Anyone here been a Catholic and you were a worrier when you were a Catholic? I don't know what it is. It's like, I don't know. It's just a kind of strange mix. I used to worry about everything. If there was nothing to worry about, I was worried that I was missing something that I should be worried about, you know? Do you ever get that way? And life is like that. Now, here's the thing, right? The number of plates that we all have to spin nowadays is just getting bigger and bigger. You know, when I was young, you know, the Bible says, and I never understood why. And I think one of the reasons why we have to take the word of God for what it says, particularly about our future, is that when we then get to our future, we can say to ourselves, oh, that's what the word of God was talking about. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the beginning of one of the chapters, it might be the 12th chapter, I'm not sure. It says this, it says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Have you read that scripture? Remember your creator in the days of your youth. And then it goes on to talk about old age and all the kind of symptoms and signs of old age. And I remember reading that scripture as a young man. And I remember thinking, like, what's that about? Because back then, you know, I was young, free, and single. I just want, you know, you can do, when you're young and single, you don't have to, like, you can just go out. Mom, I'm going out. Clunk. Do you see what I mean? No cares, no worries, no distractions, right? Then, like, you get married, and then, like, you tell your wife, wifey, I'm going out. Where are you going? Blah, 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 blah. Do you see what I'm saying? And suddenly, it's like another level of distraction. Because now, you've got to make an excuse. You can't tell her you're going down to Arsenal Football Club because it's 50 quid a ticket and we ain't got the money. How many of you have been there and done that? Okay, praise God. You went to the Arsenal. Whoa. Yes, he put up his hand. We caught it on Facebook. Praise God. So, like, then you're married and then you've got children. And then suddenly there's the next thing. It's, you can't just, hey. How many of you, when you had newborn children, it took you nearly an hour and a half to get out of the house? Isn't it true? Now, all the single, keep your hands up, guys, please. All the single people, look around and you see, because it's coming. By the grace of God, it's coming. Amen. So this is the thing, the distractions and the number of plates that you have to spin, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And people say, you know, oh, I wish I was wealthy. You know, I wouldn't have a care in the world. I wouldn't have any worries. Hey, you know, one of the reasons why rich people have to spend so much money looking young is because they get so old, so quick, worrying about their wealth. Trust me, I'm only wealthy this much. But the let me put it right, temptation, because it is morally wrong, according to the word of God, to worry. The temptation to worry about this much, it gets bigger and bigger. So the more you have, the more you've got to look after. So you can spend as much money defending your money as actually enjoying it. Where's the enjoyment in that? Do you understand? So we've got to understand that this plate thing, spinning thing, only gets stronger and stronger. Then, hey, forget looking after babies. Suddenly, your children become teenagers. And they're the ones then. Dad, I'm going out. Slam. Hang on a second, son. Where are you going? Who are you with? Blah, blah, blah. Especially this time. I'm not joking, you guys. This day and age now, I ask my children where they're going, and I'm discerning in the spirit, is there anything weapon formed against them? That's just because where we are at, we are in a war zone, and that is that. So I'm praying, I'm discerning, I'm... Now, all these plates, you see, what's the difference between a plate to spin and a worry to worry? And the answer is the human heart. Some of us have a greater propensity. Do women worry more than men? Yes or no? Who says yes? Hands up if you say yes, that women worry more than men. Hands up if you say men worry more than women. I think the women, you know, this isn't a scientific experiment, and it's also not a reason for conflict. Alera, your hand was high. Is it? Mr. Yemi, what's going on in your house? First you're going to the Arsenal, the next thing, is it? Yeah, next. You see, but this is the temptation. Mark chapter 4, the worries of this world. All the plates that we've got to spin, you see, they can become cares very quickly. Right now, listen, guys, there's another dilemma, because Jesus said this. He said, you are the light of the world. In other words, we have responsibilities because our two feet are planted in this planet, right? We have responsibilities to take care of. Really and truly, I always believe that the husband, and I may be wrong because it doesn't say it word for word in the Bible, But I honestly believe that the carrier of the responsibility for the financial well-being of the home is with the man. That's the lowest amen I've ever had in my life. See, somebody, they're punching their husband. I mean, you know, that, and suddenly the husband goes, oh, God, praise God. What was that? Hallelujah. Yeah. I just feel that way. You know, the Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife. And it's important that we understand headship is a blessing. The fact that I am the domestic head in our home is a blessing to my wife. Because then she has never cared. In fact, we had this conversation a few weeks ago. I think she mentioned it while she was preaching one day, that she's never had to worry about the well-being of our house, our household, because the responsibility for it is on my shoulders. She's never had to worry a day in her life. That's a good testimony. Clap for Pastor P. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's something about it. I've always had that sense of responsibility. I have it with regard to the house here, with regard to Harvest Church. I feel a sense of responsibility for you. It's like, it's a shepherd heart thing that God gave me, even when there were five people in Harvest. Even, I mean, we started, there was three people in Burnt Oak and me. That was it when we started Harvest, February the 14th. It was Valentine's Day, but I didn't know my Valentine then. So, you know, February the 14th, 1994. And I felt a responsibility for those three people in that room. I just felt it. I couldn't help myself. That was it. I mean, we were the wackiest, weirdest looking four people you'd ever find in your life. I didn't care. They were my people. Do you see what I mean? I was their shepherd, and that was that. And I carry that responsibility. Now, that, as an extra plate, could become a care. It could become a merimna. And the meriminas of this world enter in and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Those of you who are in ministry, cell leaders, etc., or responsible for departments within Harvest, we've got over 130 volunteers in Harvest alone. It's a big machine we have going here. And sometimes the sense of responsibility that you can carry, you know, particularly if you're in the security team or anything like that, in this day and age, it could become a care. It could become a merimna. And as a result, then, what can that merimna do? If it enters into your heart, it can enter in, choke out the word of God that wants you to be fruitful and multiply, and that word become ineffectual. Amen. So what do we do? What's the antidote to this thing? Jesus said this. He said, you are the light of the world. And I thought to myself, my goodness. Well, hang on a second. How many worlds do I live in? Right now, think about it yourself right now. How many worlds do you live in, right? Let me show you a few. There's the financial world. You are a financial being. If you're alive and breathing, then you are a financial being. Auntie Ro, could you hold that one for me? And I'll get you to stand in a little while. Okay. We live, if you haven't noticed, over the last few weeks, we live in a political world. Whether or not, it doesn't matter. If you are old enough to vote, then you have, before God, a responsibility to vote. It doesn't matter. Greens, raving monster loonies, Lib Dems, Labour, Tories, it doesn't matter. You have, nudge your neighbour and tell them you've got a responsibility. Yes, you see, can I tell you why? Because, you see, if you're not alive in the political world, then somebody else's voice is magnified over yours. The voice that God gave you, called your vote, is now being silenced by somebody else who may have a slightly different agenda to you. We live in a political world, and the difficulty is, you see, that the body of Christ has retreated into the church because we love to sing and shout praises to our God. There's nothing wrong with that, but it means that we've withdrawn largely from the political world. So who fills a vacuum? The devil. Anything that is wrong in this nation is the fault of the body of Christ. Good preaching, Pastor Pete. Say it again. Anything that's wrong with this nation is a fault of the body of Christ. We've all been given a voice. Particularly in this day and age, we've all been given things like social media. You know, that there's a lot of hate out there that we, with the grace of God, we can actually stamp out. There's a lot of darkness out there that when the light goes on, you see, in the realm of darkness, light is the master. But the light's got to be there and it's got to be turned on. Well, who's going to turn the lights on if we don't? Amen? Amen? We live, Terry, if we're married, we live in a marital world. That means that we have a responsibility to our spouse, to love them, to look after them, to nurture them in the things of God, fertilize the marriage, that present that growth medium that causes the other person to blossom and bloom. Somebody said to me the other day, they said, wow, what's it like? Now, I could tell what they were trying to say by the nuances that they were giving. But they said this. They said, effectively, what's it like to be second fiddle to your wife? Her ministry is gone worldwide and you're stuck in Wembley. That's what they were saying. Just a tiny little taster of that. Because right now she's in New York doing a two-day women's conference there for Apostle Maldonado and Prophet Anna, and it's a very, very big thing in Times Square, New York. Wonderful, wonderful place. And it's like the question they were asking was, well, how does it feel? And you know what? I have such a strong sense of achievement. Yes. Every time I see my wife blossom and bloom, there's sometimes when I see her ministering over there or in you know, on videos or anything like that that others are sharing on the El Rey Jesus website or on their, you know, they've got some real proper photographers and stuff like that. And sometimes they catch her and you can tell that she is in the midst of her destiny. And my heart, the only way I can describe it, my heart swells with joy and delight. And you know what? I don't know what they do with her over there with regards to makeup, but she even looks more beautiful over there on camera than in real. So go and do it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. We have a family world, right? Our responsibility to raise up our children, as we say when we're dedicating our children, to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of Christ. In other words, like the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they shall not depart from it. So then, Pastor P, well, how can you tell somebody who's been trained up in the world? Well, you can tell because they'll never depart from it. There'll be something, even if they stray a million miles off course, there'll still be something on the inside of them saying, come home, come home, come home, come home. You don't belong there. Praise God. That one of the greatest analogies I have concerning that is that we are a cat, we're not a pig. Yeah, we're a cat, we're not a pig. You know, a cat, you see, if they fall into mud, right, they'll spend an hour and a half cleaning off the mud. But a pig, hey, you give that thing a mud, he's not coming out for anything, for love nor money. Right, because that's his natural habitat. You see, and in the realm of the spirit, we're more like cats. We may miss it occasionally. We may get dirty. you've ever seen a stray cat, I mean, some of them look really horrible, but you put them in a right environment, man, they clean themselves up, they get themselves all prepped up, etc., etc., etc. Hallelujah. So we trust God in that thing. Father, your word says, I cast the care of this thing onto you. Your word says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they are grown, they shall not depart from it. The word says it, I believe it, that settles it. It takes worry away from these worlds. Now, how many other plates have we got to spin? When I was praying, I got so many more. Yes. Thank you, Lord. This is a good one. We live in a health world, right? We have a responsibility to look after this human carcass. And the thing about age, gravity starts to give away. The laws of gravity start to give away whether we have been good stewards of our body or bad stewards. I better look this way while I'm saying that one, because it's like, praise Jesus. My eyes are catching somewhere, but some guy just ducked like that. Yeah, gravity will expose it. Amen. 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 So we've got to look after it. If that means checking into a gym and putting my... I told Junior, my personal trainer, I told him, I said, listen, on a Friday, I said, all the days of the week, your activity is subject to me. I am your pastor. I'm your shepherd. I'm your mentor. I'm your spiritual father. But on a Friday morning, my activity is subject to you. What you tell me to do, I'll do it. Even if it takes me an hour and a half to do it, I'll do it. Why? Because I'm living in a health world. The Bible says with long life, he'll satisfy us and fullness of days. I don't know about you, but you know, I don't just want to see my grandchildren. I want to see my great-grandchildren. Hallelujah. I saw some lady on TV because I was praying, like, Lord, is there any shortcut on this? And God says, here's your shortcut. I was watching TV and there was a woman who was a great grandmother and she was like 55, 60 years old.
Really?
Yes. Because she had a child at 15 who then had a child at 15 who then had a child at 15. And God says, yeah, there's your shortcut. You want to see your grandchildren without looking after your physical body? There's your shortcut. I thought, no, I'd rather do it your way. Hey, turn to your neighbor and tell them, there's two ways to do everything. God's way and the hard way. Yes. You see, it's another thing that we have to come to terms with concerning our financial world, right? Our financial plate spinning. There's God's way to live financially, and there's the hard way. I read a thing yesterday in the Financial Times weekend edition that actually scared me about household credit card debt touching £66 billion in the UK. £66 million in credit card debt alone. People who are just wanting today what they can't afford till tomorrow, so they pay for it until the day after tomorrow. That's not the way to live. No, no. Really and truly, I heard my spiritual father say this, Kenneth Copeland. He said, you know, the Bible says, owe no man anything except to love him. He says, that's the way I live. I suggest you live that way too. Thank God. It's a fight. It's a contest, but then faith is a fight. Amen. Here's another one. I love this one. Praise God. This is one thing that's been missing from the body of Christ. Hold that one for me, Munch. That's our future world. We live in a future world. How many of you are expecting to live till next week? Okay. How many of you are expecting to live at least until next year? How many of you are expecting to live at least the next decade, at least the next 50 years, at least the next 60 or 70 years? Right, some hands went down there, but hallelujah. We'll give you a good Christian send-off. Glory to God. You see, we live in a future, so we have to prepare for that. We've got to have an eye on the future, right? Now, I want us to close by reading this scripture here. In fact, let me show you something that really helped me first. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse number 28. Yeah. The verses before, because of time, I won't go into them. But the verses before, Paul the Apostle, by the Holy Spirit, is telling the church at Corinth some of the stuff that he went through. He said, I went through shipwrecks, beatings. 3 times I received 39 lashes. I spent a day and night in the deep, in fastings often, in hunger often, all sorts of stuff like that, right? And then he says this. He says, apart from such external things, in other words, everything that I've suffered like that has been on the outside. He says this, but apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. You know that word pressure? Look it up. It's the Greek word merimna. The care of all the churches. These things are. Now, what happens? What happens when the cares of this world enter in? We read it, Mark 4. Last time I ministered, Mark 4, and the cares of this world enter in, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You see, if we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to multiply, we've not only got all those things to deal with, but there's also the things that really try to enter in. Because people would say, yes, but yeah, you know, you're the pastor of the church. You're supposed to be worried about the church. No. No, I cast all my cares upon the Lord because he cares for me, yes. Right? Okay, now, all the people holding plates, stand up real fast and just hold your plate in front of you, face the congregation. Thank you. Right. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. There it is. Okay. You are the light of the world. Jesus himself is telling us, the body of Christ, that we, you see, you ask somebody, who's the light of the world? Oh, Jesus is the light of the world. And he turns right around and he says, you are the light of the world. Okay, let me put it this way. You are the light of the financial world.
Amen.
Amen. We don't get it right. How can we expect the world to get it right? Yeah, okay. You are the light of the marital world. When the world sees your relationship with your spouse, they think, wow, you know what? I really want what they've got. Moving swiftly along. You are the light of the future world. If there's no future in you, then there's no future for the world. That's the truth. You are the light of the family world. Amen. Hallelujah. See how we've got to get it right with our children? We've got to raise up our children, train up a child in the way that they should be late for church. And when they're older, they shall not depart from it. Okay, moving swiftly along. You are the light of the health world. I thank God for the number of doctors we've got in Harvest. I thank God for the medics. I thank God. I appreciate them. Please, yeah, do put your hands together for them. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. But also, you know, there's a supernatural dimension to our health that we have to engage. We have to believe what the Word of God says. We have to watch what we eat. We have to do exercise even when we don't like it. Every Friday morning, I don't like it. But I'm there. Praise God. Hey! You are the light of the political world. Wow. That thing is a rhema word in season for this season. They don't even know if this election is going to go ahead or not. But really, that's not the point. We must be in here there are Lib Dems. In here, there are Greens. In here, there are Labour Party people. In here, there are Tory Party people. Even UKIPers. You remember the guy David Curtin, the Jamaican guy who came and did the Brexit debate for us? I thank God for his life, even though he's you know, that the party might leave something to be desired in certain people's minds, but it's very, very important that we are alive and active in every sphere of politics. Yes, yes, may that vacuum be filled in the mighty name of Jesus. My brother and sister, let me close here. You are the light of the world. All these plates have got to be spinning in our lives and more. These are just the ones that God gave me this morning while I was in prayer. But check this out now, and I'll close with this scripture. Thanks, guys. Take your seats. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we will look at verse number 7. Oh, verse 6. Let's start with verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Look at this. Casting all your anxiety. Can anyone guess what the Greek word for that word anxiety is? Merimna. Casting, you guys are good. Casting all your anxiety, all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. What a great place to be, that we can know that the one who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he surrounds us with his love. He surrounds us with his favor. And just like my sister Helen shared, like that in these days, he can tell you if you're going to end up in the wrong place, he can speak to you in your spirit and tell you, you know what, don't eat here, eat there. Don't go here, go there. I wrote, and I got the shock when I wrote it, because I hadn't realized that I'd wrote it down, that in July 2014, I was messing with becoming an author. And I drew out the skeleton of a book called Uneasy Lies the Crown. It's a secular book concerning, you know, the uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. And I called, sorry, Uneasy Lies the Head. That's right. That was the title that I was going to call it. And I'm still messing around with it now. But I wrote there in July 2014 because I had a little kind of snap picture on the inside of me as I was imagining this book of a guy who's sitting, because it's all about, you know, the way you can write the hand of destiny into certain things, that the world of fiction is another world. Thank God, one of the guys down in Kensington Temple, a guy called Marco from Finland, was the number one fiction writer for Christian fiction in the world a couple of years back. On Amazon, number one in the world. Isn't that amazing? Just a regular guy from Finland. Can anything good come out of Finland? Absolutely. Marco, praise God. Anyway, but I was writing this book, and I said in this thing, and it's dated. You know the way when you write a thing in notes on your iPhone, the date that you wrote it comes up is July 2014. And I said, destiny is a strange thing. I said, you can go to one restaurant in Paris and be shot to death. Or you can go to another restaurant in the same city and meet somebody who wants you to partner with them and for you to become an entrepreneur in business and for them to make you a multimillionaire as a result. Where you are is as important as who you are. And that was the point I was making in that book. That was July 2014. And when was this Bataclan thing? And they shot up several restaurants as well. People were shot to death by being in the wrong restaurant. Lord have mercy. This is the day that we're living in. The blood of Jesus can protect us. That little thing on the inside that says, you know what? Walk to work today. Don't catch this. You don't catch this bus. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to thank God for his word today. Father, I thank you for the responsibilities that we carry. But I pray, Lord God, that none of them would become cares. None of them would become worries. That our responsibilities to you, Heavenly Father, would be first and foremost. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Father, I thank you for our responsibilities in these worlds. But Lord God, I know that your hand is upon us for good. I thank you for keeping our sister Helen safe. Thank you for all the people, Lord God, that you kept away by your hand from that area. We pray for the ones who weren't fortunate enough, Lord God, and their families Heavenly Father. We lift them up to you today, Lord God, and we pray the balm of Gilead on their lives. We pray, Father, your hand of mercy, your hand of compassion will be with them today, Lord God. We thank you so much, Lord God, for keeping our hearts free of cares, that we can hear your voice and know your voice and follow your voice, that the voice of another we simply will not follow. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that all these worlds, Lord God, will be influenced because we are the light of the world. We are the city on the hill. We are the people that cannot be shaken. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord this morning.